We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
Hi, folks. It's been a busy week in Rob's life, so I'm going to attempt something I've actually never done before, which is a solo recording. I'm not sure how it will work with just one voice for the episode, but hey, we'll give it a try. One of the psychological theories that I often come back to in my interactions with founders is something called cognitive theory. And this is simply a focus on understanding how our thoughts shape our feelings and behaviors. And certainly, this is not the only determinant of mental well-being. The more that we learn about the brain and the mind, the more that it seems like it's becoming clear that our mental health, our feelings, our decision-making capacity, all of that is very complicated and biologically based. There's a lot of chemistry and physiology involved. 20th century psychology really focused on the role that thinking has in shaping our feelings and behaviors. If you've ever taken a psych class, you'll probably be familiar with the names Albert Ellis, Aaron Beck. These are some of the folks who really pioneered this focus on thoughts. One of the reasons that I think this is really important, particularly for founders, is that in my experience interacting with the founder community, do seem to be a community that's really driven by cognitive processes or the ways that the messages or the thoughts that are in their heads. And this is all fine and good for the most part. It's wonderful to be a rational, cerebral person who can really think through emotions or think through decisions and think through behavior. We all strive for that. But sometimes the problem begins, whether it's in the life of a founder or any of us, when our thinking begins to fail us, when our thinking becomes distorted or maladaptive, not helpful. One of the terms that the recovery movement uses to talk about this is stinkin' thinkin'. It's when the wonderful tools of the frontal lobe of logic and planning and the ability to predict and determine behavior, it starts to not work very well and it gets skewed. So one of the things that I really like to talk with people about is noticing patterns in their thoughts that have become unhelpful. So again, some of the terms for that are cognitive distortions or maladaptive cognitions, unhelpful ways of thinking. And this is a particularly great theory to have some familiarity with because it's a great do-it-yourself kind of psychology technique. All of us have the capacity to observe our own thoughts. That's one of our best human abilities. And we all have the ability to notice patterns and notice the ways that our thoughts seem to relate to negative feelings or self-destructive or not so wise behavior. So you could Google this and like find lots of lists of cognitive distortions all over the internet. Thankfully, there are lots of great resources available if this is something that you want to go deeper with or is interesting to you. I thought for the purpose of this podcast, I might talk about five cognitive distortions or stinking thoughts that I tend to see most often in the founder community. One of the most common problematic thought patterns that I see is filtering. And this is a pattern of thinking where we really focus on the negative details of an experience or an event or of ourselves, and we magnify them. We focus on them entirely while we're ignoring all of the positive aspects of the situation. So something that I hear a lot in the founder world is really dwelling on what is incomplete and what needs to be done or what has failed, rather than also giving some equal mental airtime to what has been successful. So always looking at the negative, really, like dwelling on what is undone or flawed and not really having a balanced perspective of evaluating your work or yourself. And a second one that's very related is polarized thinking or black and white thinking. And here we come to think of particularly ourselves, in these all or nothing terms. We either have to be perfect or we're a failure. We're extremely successful, badass entrepreneur, or everything that we touch is bound to fail and not be successful. And there's no shades of gray. There's no good enough. There's no, hey, I'm trying, I'm learning. There's no, hey, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. And I think this is particularly challenging as a business really gets going and a founder who may be a technical person is now taking on the role of CEO or trying to run a team, trying to manage people. And those are not necessarily skills that many technical folks may have, or they're at least skills to be learned. And so you see people who have a great idea and they are becoming very successful, but all of a sudden they're tasked with these new activities that may or may not really be in their wheelhouse. And all of a sudden, instead of noticing how skilled they are in one area, people tend to see themselves as either really good or really bad at their work or at the demands of what's being asked of them at the particular stage of their startup. So this black and white or polarized thinking is where we fail to see any shading, where we fail to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt or understand ourselves as people who are emerging, sort of like the growth mindset that we've talked about in other podcasts, that this is the all or nothing perspective of oneself. A third maladaptive cognition that I think is worth noting is overgeneralization. And this is a way of thinking where we come to a general conclusion based on a single incident or a single piece of evidence. So if something didn't work once, we believe that that is always going to be true. If we found it difficult to run a team or manage a contractor once, then we are going to overgeneralize that conclusion or that experience and maybe never try it again. And as a researcher, there, you know, obviously there's a big difference between anecdotal data and data that's collected over time. And I think overgeneralization is this focus on this one incident or this single incident of data and not really trying something over the long run to really see if it will work, but instead drawing a final conclusion from one single unpleasant or difficult event. A fourth way of thinking that can be really problematic is when we have disruptions in our sense of control. This can go in a couple different ways. Sometimes we feel externally controlled. We see ourselves as helpless, victims of fate. We don't believe so much in our own capacity or power to respond to the challenges that we're experiencing. I don't see this too often in founders, to tell you the truth. I think the way that founders can struggle or fall into a thinking pattern is to have an overestimate of internal control, where they are assuming that we have full responsibility for kind of everything that happens and everyone around us. Because most founders are pretty driven and they are taking this path where they are venturing out with a high level of self-determination and self-responsibility, sometimes that can go too far and we believe that we have too much responsibility for things around us, for other people, for trends in the market, for technical developments around which we truly have no control. But listening for our sense of over-responsibility, over an assumption of too much control. But it's easy to fall into a path of too much control, assumption of too much responsibility. And that can certainly lead to some painful outcomes and to bad decisions. And the last one that I'll mention, the last cognitive distortion that I talk a lot with people about is the shoulds. We psychologists like to joke about, you know, don't should on yourself. Shoulds are sort of this list of rules that we might have deep in the recesses of our brains about what should happen or how the world should be or how our business should work. And I think this can be particularly tricky for founders because I think sometimes people have goals that they kind of absorb from other sources, right? I should grow my company. I should 10x this year. I should raise funding. I should move fast. And these might be the correct plans for many founders, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes people aren't sort of set up to be a CEO of a large company. And sometimes the popular wisdom is not the right thing for an individual. And so when we find ourselves thinking, I should do this, I should do that, the real danger is that we may be failing to really check in with what is authentic to us, what's realistic, or what's really even in line with what we want and who we are. So should is sort of this big word that should be highlighted every time it comes into your brain. Put some lights and red flashing lights and warning signals around it. Must and ought are also other ones. Our decisions are based on what's available, what capacity we have, what skills we have in the moment, not purely on this driving idea that we should do something or we should be able to accomplish something. So the reason that I'm taking the time to talk through this and hopefully make you aware of some of these patterns if you're not already is because each of these patterns and the others that sort of fall in this category of maladaptive cognitions do lead us down paths of emotional distress or of making decisions, again, based on a single piece of data or based on a random internalized belief that's not really true for us. And those decisions are often not the best decisions for us because they're not based on a fair and balanced perspective of who we are and what is possible in our situation. So if these kinds of thoughts are resonating with you, maybe you have many other examples, I would just encourage you to really pay attention to them. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, this is great do-it-yourself psychology. Once you start to notice patterns or notice that when you have a certain kind of thought, you start to feel upset, there's a lot that you can do to change that. And there's sort of a simple plan for de-stinking your thinking or for correcting maladaptive cognitions. And the first is really important, and that's just to observe. Notice the thought. Notice when you're having thoughts that seem to increase your stress. Listen for extreme thoughts. Some of the examples that I gave, overgeneralization, polarized or black and white thinking, filtering, control, shoulds. Listen for your own use in your mind of words like always, have to, must, never. Listen for all-encompassing broad statements. I am never going to be successful. I am a failure. He, she is not trustworthy. You can even use a journal or a spreadsheet and just keep track of some of the thoughts that you have that seem to cause distress or seem to lead to decisions that are based in angst and not in what is actually helpful or good for you. And then the second step, once you have noticed the problematic thought, is to like sit down and have a conversation with that thought. We often call this disputing the cognition. And this is where you kind of play attorney, where you look at the thought. Maybe the thought is something like, my app isn't growing as fast as I want it to. I suck at this. I suck at growth. And then you write down, what's the evidence for this? Perhaps your app isn't growing, but what's the truth to the thought that you suck at this, or you're terrible, or you're a failure? Have you been successful at growing other things in the past? Are you relatively new to this process and sort of still learning about marketing and still learning about how to get your product out there? So you're asking yourself, how valid is this really? And can I poke some holes in the logic here? Another technique to double check or improve our thinking is to take a more compassionate perspective. Would you say this to a friend? Do you think your friend is a failure because his app isn't growing as fast as he would like it to? Most of us are very hard on ourselves. Is one of the reasons that your business isn't growing as fast as you would like because you've lost a family member, or there's been illness in your family, or you've had a baby, or you're in the midst of a divorce? Most of us, if we're having a conversation with someone else, would take those factors into account when we're evaluating the success of an activity or an endeavor. So this compassionate technique is an invitation to do that for ourselves, to talk to ourselves like we would a friend, to talk to ourselves like we would one of our children or someone that we love and care about, to talk to ourselves in ways that are helpful and not condemning or dismissive or overly critical. And then a fourth technique to kind of untwist distorted thinking is to talk through your thoughts with a friend or a partner, a mastermind group, a therapist, a coach. Get a sense of external perspective. our thoughts are really powerful because they kind of echo inside of our minds, and there's not a lot of conversation unless we take the initiative to get those thoughts out of the echo chamber and onto the table where we can look at them in a different way, where we can hear another voice or another set of perspectives. So it's really helpful to have the insight to notice, hey, my thoughts are really critical, or it's just not a nice place inside my head. And then to bring some of those thoughts to light and not let them just kind of echo around there in the black box of the brain. We talk a lot about self-reflection on this podcast, and I think this is another tool for self-reflection. You can sit down and pay attention to how you're feeling, how you're thinking, the kinds of things that are keeping you up at night and really stressing you out. And once you begin to notice those problem points, you may begin to target specific patterns of thinking that seem to underlie the troubles that you're having. And the best thing about that is once you have identified it, once you've found the bug in the code, then you can make a plan for debugging. You can use some of these strategies or many other strategies and begin to make your inner world a little bit kinder, a little bit more comfortable, and a little bit more compassionate. So that's all from me for today. Rob will be back on the podcast next week, and we have some great interviews lined up in the next couple of weeks. So keep listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.